An old man with serious hearing problems for many years finally went to the doctor, and the doctor fitted him with hearing aids that gave him 100% of his hearing back. The man came back a month later for a follow-up. The doctor said, "Your hearing is perfect. Your family must be so happy." He said, "I haven't told my family. I just sit around listening to their conversations, and I've changed my will 3 times. 92-year-old man went to the doctor to get a physical, and a few days later, the doctor saw the man walking down the street with a gorgeous young lady on his arm. So when he came for his follow-up, the doctor said, "Well, you must be doing really great, huh?" The man said, "Well, doc, I'm just doing what you said. Get a hot mama and be cheerful." The doctor said, "No, Mr. Smith. I said, you've got a heart murmur. You need to be careful." Hearing problems can get you in trouble, can't they? I heard about the senior rally where they were standing outside of the clinic and they were shouting, "What do you want? Hearing aids. When do we want them? Hearing aids." Yeah, tough crowd. Anyway, today I want to talk about a hearing problem that really matters. How do I hear God speak to me? Because God still speaks, in case you didn't know. I know there are some people, a small group of people, who say that God doesn't talk anymore, but God has not lost his voice. He is still speaking, and he speaks to all of us in many different ways. The problem is, often we don't recognize it when he's speaking to us. In theology, there's a field of study known as theology proper. Theology proper is the study of God himself. And when I study the character and the nature of God, I found that he's very vocal. He is very much a speaking God. Okay, think about it. He spoke the world into being. Genesis 1:1, God said, "Let there be light." And boom, there was light. The Bible says in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve heard the voice of God as they walked in the garden in the cool of the evening. On Mount Sinai, the children of Israel, the Bible says that God's voice resounded like thunder, and the people trembled and were afraid, and they looked at Moses and said, "You go up the mountain." Unlike on Mount Sinai that day, when Elijah was in the cave, God spoke to him in a still, small voice, a quiet whisper. God can speak loudly, he can speak softly. He speaks in many ways and at many times. He speaks to us and he speaks through us. What are some of the ways that God speaks? One way is the Bible. After all, what do we call it? The Word of. If you want a word from God, read the Bible. If you want an audible word from God, read the Bible out loud. Come on, we go around. "I want a word. I need a word. I need a word. I need a word. I want a word. I want a fresh word. I got to have a word." And you ain't read your Bible in 2 years. Oh, that's tight, but it's right, y'all. Don't get nervous in the service. Do not neglect the Bible. It is a precious gift from God, and it has the power to change your life. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You don't read the Word of God, you're going to go around life untrained, unprepared, unprotected, and unequipped to do anything. Read the Word. Tell somebody, read the Word. Amen. Not only does God speak through his word, he speaks directly to us by his Spirit. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it's often through impressions in our hearts and in our minds. Not necessarily an audible voice, it can be, but most of the time it's an inner voice speaking to us, just like Elijah described, a still, small voice. When the Apostle Paul initially wanted to preach the gospel in Asia, the Bible says the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and wouldn't allow it. It wasn't time yet. When Philip was walking along the road to Gaza, the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, "Go approach that Ethiopian man's chariot." And he became the first Gentile, the first man from Africa to believe in Jesus. How about that? Isn't that something? How does God speak? He speaks through creation. The world we live is a witness of God's glory. God speaks so clearly through creation that all people will be held accountable for belief in the Creator on these grounds alone. Think about that. The world around us is declaring to us that God is real. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that what? We're without excuse. The world we see is evidence that God is real. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Did you know that the world's most pronounced atheist changed his mind in the 90s when he read the Human Genome Project? When they sequenced human DNA and saw how complex it was, he said, no, this could not have been an accident. This is so complex. This has to be divine design. The creation declares to us that God is real. How does God speak to us? Through our own conscience. We're made in the image of God, and because of that, we all have a sense of what's right and wrong. God speaks in many ways. He speaks through circumstances. God speaks through burdens. If you see something that's wrong with this world, and it bothers you, and it doesn't seem to bother everybody else, maybe that's God speaking to you, saying, I'm calling you to do something about it. God speaks through visions and dreams. Anybody ever had God speak to you in a vision or a dream? I've had some dreams that I know were from God, and some that were probably from the other region. It's good to know the difference, amen? Job 33:14, for God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. How else does God talk? Out loud in an audible voice. Did you know that? When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he prayed, Father, glorify your name. And in that moment, a voice from heaven said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the Bible records in John 12:29 that the whole multitude heard God speak out loud. When Peter, James, and John saw Jesus transfigured on the mountain, they heard a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Many times in the Bible, God spoke audibly. And I know people that God has spoken audibly to. I shared this in the first service. A pastor's wife shared with us that one day she saw somebody in the Walmart parking lot who had done her wrong. I mean, hurt her bad. Okay, so she went back to the trailer park roots and she got out of the car, slammed the door, and said, I'm going to go chew her out. I mean, she was mad. She was bitter. She had a little bit of hatred in her heart for this woman because she had hurt her husband and hurt them in ministry so bad. And she said, I audibly heard God say, stop it. God will talk out loud if he's got to. Now, I've never heard God speak audibly. If I did, I'd probably say, okay, Lord, I'll listen, but let me change my pants first. That's how it happened in the Old Testament. God would speak, but people would fall like dead to the ground in fear because God is all powerful and all holy. God can speak out loud. He can speak in a still small voice. He can speak through his Holy Spirit, and he can speak through other believers. Did you know that? God can speak to you through other brothers and sisters in Christ. God can give them an encouraging word to give you, and sometimes even a word of correction. I'm amazed at how many times the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds just like my wife. Isn't that something? God will speak to us through other believers. God speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Somebody has said, if God is real, why didn't he just come down from heaven and announce to the whole world, I'm real? What, dummy? He did that. Oh, about 2,000 years ago. Jesus is God revealed. Jesus is speaking to the whole world, telling the whole world, I love you. You have hope. You have peace. You have a way to heaven. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. God, who speaks in various times, in various ways, to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Jesus is God speaking clearly to mankind. His teachings, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection is God speaking and declaring his love and hope for humanity. God speaks in many, many ways, but how do I know if something is God or not? How do I know if it's God speaking to me? Because we've got extremes. We have people who never hear from God, and then we have people God speaks to them and tells them literally everything to do. How many bristles to have on their toothbrush? What type of shoelaces to buy? I don't know if that's the Lord or... might need to take a visit to the clinic. Because the answer is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay? The answer is somewhere in the middle. If you've never heard God speak, you need to open up your ears and hear his voice. Hello? And at the same time, you shouldn't be completely helpless to where God has to tell you what time of day to tie your shoes.
Right.
Y'all with me? Can I say that? If I can't, I'll be taking orders at McDonald's next week, all right? But we ought to be somewhere in the middle. We ought to have balance. We ought to be able to hear the voice of God and have discernment to know if this is God speaking or not. Amen? So today I'm going to give you four principles that I believe will help you. Number one, God will never contradict himself. Never, ever, ever will God contradict himself. And this is your number one safety rail. You understand? God will never contradict himself. If you think that God is speaking to you, to your heart, through your circumstances, through your situations, through somebody else, God will never say anything to you that contradicts the Bible.
Yes.
His spoken word will not contradict his written word. Period.
Right.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? And has he spoken it, and will he not make it good? God will not contradict what he has spoken in the Bible. You want answers? Go to the scriptures. That's why you need to know the word of God. Hosea 4:6, God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If you don't understand if God's speaking to you, you need to spend more time reading the scriptures. Because when you know the truth, you won't fall for a lie. Hello. If you blindfold me, I could take out my wife in a room full of 500 people. Because I've spent enough time around her that I know her voice. You spend enough time in the presence of God. You spend enough time reading the word of God. You will know when a word is from him and when it's not. Hello. God will never contradict himself. When you know the truth, you won't fall for a lie. When I was working at the bank, I started out as a teller. And I'll never forget, my first week at work was just so much fun. Because we had just paid $70,000 for our first house. And I found myself carrying $70,000 into the bank. Well, boy, that was fun. I just wanted to make it rain and lay down and roll in the dollar bill. But I didn't do that. That's not how I started the ministry, by getting fired. But really, after spending a lot of time handling money, one day I was handling a large commercial deposit, and I came across a $100 bill, and I stopped because something didn't feel right about it. And I knew before I even put the pen on it, ran it through the machine, I knew that it was counterfeit because I had spent so much time around the real thing. That's why it's so important that you spend time reading the word of God, because when you spend enough time around the real thing, you'll know when something's not from him.
Right.
Y'all good? The more you read and study the Bible, the more you'll be able to recognize when God is speaking to your heart. The word of God should be our first resource, not our last resort. Hello. You know what everybody else says about it, but what does the Bible say about it? There are some questions that the Bible will directly answer. Is it okay to commit adultery?
Nope.
There are other questions that the Bible will not directly answer. Should I marry Vanessa or Venetia? Do I take job number one or job number two? The Bible might not directly answer those questions, but the Bible is your source for every answer. Okay? The Bible will tell you how to find the answer. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you don't know what to do, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you're facing a major decision and you need to seek confirmation to what you feel God is telling you, never make a major decision without seeking godly counsel. Remember, God also speaks to other believers. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. You put yourself at risk when you hear just one voice and you jump into action based on what you hear without getting confirmation. Hello. When somebody gives you a word or a parking lot prophecy, you need to test that thing. You think it's God, but it might have been that hot dog they ate yesterday. You get a vision in the night. You think it was the Most High, but it might have been my time. Come on, I've missed it before. That's why you got to test that thing. You think it's of God? Put it to the test. Seek wise counsel. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, says God. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Here's some practical wisdom. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Jesus came from heaven to earth on the greatest life-saving mission in all of eternity, and he spent 30 years in preparation before he started ministry. Don't act too fast. It's better to take time to seek counsel from others than to jump into a wrong decision. Here's something else. Your emotions can be your enemy. There have been times when I felt that something was the leading of God, only to find out the hard way that it wasn't. Why? Because emotions are notorious for false starts. Sometimes the solution is just to wait. Wait a week and see how you feel. Emotions are deceiving. They want instant gratification, but God is methodical. He has an appointed time for everything. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Speaking of time, never make big decisions late in the day. Sleep on it. Think about it. Make a decision when you wake up and your mind is alert. Amen? Because the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. So don't rush. Take your time. Get confirmation of what God is speaking to you. Don't let your emotions take the driver's seat, because your emotions will drive you off a cliff. You can save yourself a lot of heartache by simply asking for godly advice before you make a decision. And there's a clear pattern for this in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 13:1, the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Y'all okay so far? Number one, God won't contradict himself. Number two, God will speak if you listen. God will speak if you listen. When you haven't heard from God, most of the time, it's not a problem of God not speaking. It's a problem of us not listening. When you haven't heard from God, it's not necessarily a speaking problem, but a hearing problem. So let me ask you, what are you allowing to distract you from hearing from God? Because we all have distractions. Every single one of us, we all have distractions. This past week it was so sad. We went on a field trip with our little Hudson, and there was this one little girl who just wanted her mama's attention, but her mama was off in the corner the whole time on her phone. Won't even talk it on it, just swipe it and scroll it. How many times do we do that with God? God desperately wants to speak to us. He desperately wants to help us, to keep us from making a wrong decision, to help us make the right decision, to guide us and to lead us. But we're so distracted that we're not paying attention to what he's saying. So I want to challenge you today to cut out the distractions. Because God will speak if you listen, and He'll lead if you'll follow. Here's the test of a true leader. If you turn around and look behind you and nobody's following you, you're not a leader. If you're not following God, then He's not the leader of your life. Too many times, what do? We figure out what we want, and we make our own plans, and then we say, God bless it. But Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I don't think there's a person here who doesn't want to hear God speak, but we hear His voice when we follow His ways. The book of Romans tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In order to understand the things of God, you have to allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. The wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is that He's always there. He's always present and He's always available. David said, where can I go from your Spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead. Your right hand shall hold me. There's nowhere you can go and no mess you can get in where the Holy Spirit is not also there. Wanting to lead you and wanting to help you and wanting to guide you. But how many times are we completely unaware of His presence? Do you know there's satellite signal going all through this room right now? But we ain't got the game on the big screen. Why? Because we don't have a receiver. There are radio signals going through this room right now. But we're not listening to the radio. Why? Because we don't have a receiver. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is in this room and He's present in your life. But so many times we don't have our receivers activated. We're not even thinking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit or asking Him to speak to us. Some of y'all are in a mess right now. You need to turn your receiver on. And say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, guide me. Holy Spirit, give me answers. Not my will, but yours be done. Guide me. Lead me. Lead me by your word. Lead me by your spirit. Guide me. Let me hear your voice. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything if you allow Him to lead you and you'll listen. If you're a Christian and you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, maybe it's time for a spiritual checkup. Are there things in your life that are interfering with your ability to listen? Because sin can clog up the ears. Right. Don't let Facebook come between you and the Father. Ooh. Hello. Don't be so distracted and so entertained by all these other things that you don't take time to listen to God. He'll lead you if you'll follow, and He'll speak if you'll listen. Don't ignore the voice of conviction. Why would the Holy Spirit give you direction about a big decision if you've been ignoring Him when He brings conviction about little things in your life? Don't let a small stain stand between you and your destiny. We talk about Jesus being Lord of our lives, and what does that mean? That means that He's the ultimate authority. Sometimes you need to get up in the morning and look in the mirror and just say no. You remember that drug campaign, just say no? Some of you will get high on your own ambitions every day. You need to get up, look in the mirror, and say no. Because there's a battle for the lordship of your life. And a lot of people think it's between God and the devil, but 9 times out of 10, it's between God and you. We want to run our own lives and do our own things and do what makes us happy. But we need to daily make the decision, I'm going to surrender to the lordship of Jesus. Tell somebody, just say no. What did Jesus say? If you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. So you need to get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, no. I dare you. I dare you to start Monday morning like that. Just say no. No to me. Yes to God. I must decrease. He must increase. I know it's been tough today. It ain't been fun. We haven't been kicking over chairs, running and shouting and jumping, but it'll help somebody. It will. Number one, God will never contradict himself. Number two, God will lead you if you follow. He'll speak if you listen. Number three, God will never tell you to satisfy your flesh. I can run, but I can't hide. God will never tell you to satisfy your flesh. There was a very famous pastor in California several years ago. He said God told him to divorce his wife and marry a supermodel. Survey says, that dog gonna hunt. God will never tell you to satisfy your own fleshly desires. Romans 8, 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. When you're in charge and you don't say no, you will destroy your own life. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and is peace. If you want to have life, if you want to have peace, the only way to that is to follow the Spirit of God and not your own ways. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you know what that scripture just said? Your carnal mind, your selfish desires are the enemy of God. And as long as you're following after your own desires, you'll never please God. This is inner conflict between the flesh and the Spirit. And God will never speak to you and tell you something that's going to feed your selfish desires. Here's an example. God told me to quit going to church. I figured out he's the one that didn't apply to anybody here today. God told me to quit going to church. But the Bible says that we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. God didn't tell you that. Either you can't get along with people, you can't submit to authority, or you're lazy to tell them to get out of bed and go to church on Sunday morning. I get it. I love going to the church of St. Mattress. I'd attend every service if I could. But that's not what God says. God will never contradict his word in order to tell you to do something to satisfy your own desires. By the way, God does want you to be happy. God does want you to be blessed, but he wants you to be happy his way, because his way is the everlasting way. That's why David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You'll never be happy till you live life God's way. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have everything you need. He wants you to enjoy life. But all of these things come from putting God first and not yourself. Come on, tell somebody again. Just say no. Did you know that God will regularly tell you to do stuff that directly goes against what you want? I'm telling you, he will. He will frequently tell you to do stuff that goes in direct opposition to your own desires. But I tell you, I just said this a few weeks ago, you know, sometimes God will shut one door and open another, but it's hell in the hallways. We were in a long hallway for 2 years. And we said, God, you know our heart, you know our desires, we know that you've called us. Lord, let us move on. And we would fast and we would pray. And every time God said no. Sometimes God will tell you exactly what you don't want to hear. And do you know that that's a test? That's a test to see who's really in charge. Because we could have been like Abraham and been like, that's not my wife, that's my sister. Gone all Joe Dirt. But God was testing us. Are you Lord of your life or am I Lord of your life? Sometimes God will tell us answers we don't want to hear, but he doesn't protect us. Hello. It's just like a stoplight. Sometimes God will give you a red light so he can give somebody else a green light to get them out of the way. Hello. Sometimes you need to slow down, Ricky Bobby, and hit the brakes because God's trying to keep you safe. Y'all okay? If you're taking notes, that was point number three. If you're taking medicine, it's 11:57. God will regularly test you to see who's Lord of your life. God will regularly tell you things to do that go against your old selfish desires. But I want to ask you this morning, what's the one thing that is keeping you from laying it all at the feet of Jesus? What's that one thing in your life that you don't want to surrender, that you don't want to give up? Because that may be the very thing that's keeping you from hearing from God. God will never contradict himself. He'll speak if you listen. He'll never tell you to satisfy your flesh. And number four, God will always give you peace in your heart. And that's the good news. That's the wonderful thing about God, is when God truly speaks to you, even if it's not what you want to hear, even when God told us no in the middle of a mess, we had absolute peace in our hearts because we knew that it was a word from God. It was not what I wanted, but I knew it was his will, and I had peace, and I was satisfied. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When it's truly God, you'll know it because you'll have peace in your heart. You'll have peace in your spirit. I know that God has spoken to me. Yes. Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," the kind of peace that doesn't even make sense, "is going to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Maybe you need to hear God speak right now in your situation. Maybe you need God's wisdom. Ask him today to speak to you. Ask him to speak to your heart. Ask him to guide you and lead you. And you have the wonderful promise of God in Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God is speaking, but let's pray that God would open up our ears to hear his voice, to remove every distraction, to set our hearts on him today. Will you stand this morning as we pray and as the worship team comes?
Lord, we just thank you for today. God, I thank you, Father, Lord, for speaking when we listen, Father. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that this morning, Father, I just pray that you remove any distractions that may be in our life, Father. Lord, anything that may be keeping us from hearing your voice, Lord, I ask that you just remove it, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you give us the spirit of discernment to see those things are distracting us, Father. And Lord, that we surrender our will, Father, to yours, to be willing to give up those distractions, to give up relationships that aren't good for us, Father, to give up things that are taking time away from what we should be doing, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you give us eyes to see those things that are holding us back, where in our mind we think that they're pushing us forward, Lord. But, Father, I thank you that we see exactly what those distractions are doing to us. And, Lord, I thank you, Father, for discernment, Lord. Lord, I thank you this morning, Lord, that we surrender our will to yours, Father, that we stop being led by the flesh and those desires that we want. And Lord, that we give me, myself, and I up, Father, to follow you. Lord, I thank you for obedience this morning to do what you say to do. And when you say to do it, not years later, Father, but when you say and when you speak, that we're willing to surrender to what you're telling us to do, Father, even if it's not what we want to hear. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for the people that are in the midst of a storm this morning, that have been waiting to hear your voice, Father, that this morning you speak to them in a way that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have spoken, Father, that you send words of confirmation, Father, to be that voice that they need to hear, Father. Lord, open up their ears and their heart to receive what you have to say before them, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for your goodness. Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, that we follow after you, Lord. Lord, that whatever the cost is, God, that this morning we follow after your will in our life, Lord. And Father, I thank you that by giving up that surrender, Father, Lord, that you give us peace. That even when the answer is no, that we have peace. That whatever the answer is, Father, that you're going to provide, that you're going to do whatever it is that we need to have done, Father, for us to have peace. And Lord, I thank you. thank you for that. And I rebuke the enemy that has tried to come in and blind your people and that have become distracted by the things that are not important. And I will remove those distractions and the scales that have been placed over people's eyes and the wax that has built up in their ears, Father. Lord, give us ears to hear what you're trying to say and eyes that see the truth, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for doing a mighty work in our life. Lord, I thank you, Father, for just mending and binding, Father, Lord, relationships that need to be put back together, Father. For giving parents wisdom, Lord, to navigate their children through tough times and tough waters, Father. Lord, for restoring marriages, Father, this morning. Lord, for delivering people, Father, from things they've been bound from years, that have been distractions for years. Lord, I thank you for deliverance this morning, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that the burden that people have been carrying is being removed off of their shoulders right now, Father. And that deliverance and freedom and peace and hope and joy and love is coming into their life and into their mind. Lord, I thank you, Father, for doing a mighty work, Lord. And Lord, we commit to you today to follow you, Father. And Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, we give you glory and honor. Let's sing this song one more time.
Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power.
Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner.